From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the Working Families Party splits over the candidates in the race for governor. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on what the breakup means for both political sides in the governor's race, and state and regional officials hold a groundbreaking for a new theme park. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The progressive political party, the Working Families Party, split up last weekend, with some of the last remaining major unions leaving the group. WFP announced they backed Cynthia Nixon for governor, while incumbent Andrew Cuomo withdrew from consideration, saying he's sticking with the major unions for now. As the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports, the choice seems a safe bet for Cuomo.
Cuomo's apparently made the political decision that he can get further in his reelection bid with established unions than the progressive activists in his party. Unions have thousands of members. They often volunteer to staff phone banks, go door to door with campaign literature, and help encourage voters to get to the polls. The governor's been very supportive of unions in recent months.
November, are we taking back our state altogether? You're damn right we're going to.
Earlier in April, at a rally featuring, among others, United Federation of Teachers President Michael Mulgrew, Cuomo signed a bill to protect unions from an upcoming Supreme Court decision that could make it easier for workers to opt out of paying union dues. Cuomo says the new law provides unions with needed protections, and he framed the issue as an attack on working people by President Trump and the Republican Congress.
This is the tip of the iceberg. We are in the middle of a big fight nationwide, and it is just starting. But we're going to be the state that shows how to mobilize and how to win. And that's what this is a metaphor for today.
In return, union leaders at the event showered Cuomo with praise. AFL-CIO President Mario Salento even took a veiled shot at Cuomo's Democratic opponent and now likely Working Families Party nominee, Cynthia Nixon.
Leadership is not, hoping that something gets done. Leadership is not, wishing upon a star that hopefully something good happens. Leadership is not sending out a press release or sending out trial balloons and let's see what people think. No. Leadership is doing and saying and doing what you say you're going to do. And Governor, we thank you for that leadership.
Cuomo explained his reasoning, talking to reporters, where he denied accusations that he made threats against the unions in order to get them to leave the Working Families Party.
I am a middle-class guy. That's who I am. That's where I come from. Those are my values. Those are my culture. Those are my friends. And organized labor represents the working men and women of New York.
Bruce Jory, a political consultant who is not advising anyone in the governor's race, says the pure progressives are not the majority of the Democratic Party base, which he says is made up of a mix of around two-thirds traditional liberals and moderate Democrats, with a few conservatives thrown in. Those Democrats may be closer in their philosophy to union members. Jory says in 2014, Cuomo underestimated his primary opponent, Zephyr Teachout. He refused to shake her hand, permitting an aide to physically block her at a public event. And he did nothing to encourage voter turnout, which would have helped him. As a result, the little-known Teachout won one-third of the primary vote. Jory says he doubts the governor will make those mistakes again. And he says right now, it's Cuomo's race to lose.
If you look at the polling data, he's overwhelmingly popular amongst Democrats and liberal Democrats and female Democrats in particular. So if he just avoids looking like a bully, If he eats his sugar cookies and is in a good mood throughout the whole campaign, he should do fine.
A Siena poll shows Cuomo with strong support among Democratic women and Black and Hispanic Democrats. But it also shows challenger Nixon gaining 16 points in the first 3 weeks of her candidacy. And the governor's favorability rating among voters matches a record low of 44%. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Meanwhile, a new Siena College poll suggests New Yorkers still prefer Governor Andrew Cuomo over the Democrats' current challengers in this year's election. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas has more.
With the primary some 5 months away, Governor Cuomo remains popular among Democrats, with 62% viewing him favorably and 32% unfavorably. Steve Greenberg of the Siena College Research Institute points out that Cuomo's favorability rating has fallen.
Siena poll has some good news for Governor Cuomo and some bad news for Governor Cuomo. First, on the bad news, his favorability rating now stands at 49 favorable, meaning 49% of New York voters have a favorable view of Andrew Cuomo, 44 unfavorable. That ties for the lowest favorability rating Andrew Cuomo has had in his nearly 8 years as governor. The last time it was that low, and it was exactly 49-44, was 3 years ago in July 2015. His job performance basically held from last month. Right now, 41% give him a positive job performance rating as governor, 57% give him a negative job performance rating as governor. But when we matched Cuomo up against his potential opponents, Cuomo is still in a very strong position.
How does Cuomo stack up against the competition?
In a potential Democratic primary matchup, right now Cuomo leads Cynthia Nixon 58-27%. That's a 31-point lead. It is down, however, significantly from last month. The last Siena poll came out on the day Cynthia Nixon announced her candidacy. So we were in the field with that poll prior to Nixon being a candidate. Now, a month into her candidacy, what we see is Cuomo has a 58-27 lead, but it's down from 66-19%. We also see that Cynthia Nixon still has a lot of work to do to become known to New York voters. Right now, 45% of voters, almost half, don't know enough about her to have an opinion about her. And among those who do, break even. 27% view her favorably, 28% view her unfavorably. But if we just look at Democrats for Cuomo and Nixon, right now Cuomo has a 62-32% favorability rating among Democrats compared to Cynthia Nixon's 33-23. So Cuomo has an advantage on favorability, and he's got a 31-point lead in a head-to-head matchup.
Rebecca Castigan is senior advisor to the Nixon campaign.
We're gratified by the enthusiasm and support for Cynthia's positive vision for the state, especially after only a few weeks in this race. But we are very focused on the work ahead of us and introducing Cynthia's progressive vision to New Yorkers across the state.
Looking ahead to November, Greenberg notes as of today, Cuomo would handily defeat declared Republican candidates, Senate Deputy Majority Leader John DeFrancisco and Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, both unknown to at least three-quarters of New York voters, according to the poll.
So when we match them up head-to-head, Cuomo leads Molinaro 57-31%, virtually unchanged from last month, and he leads DeFrancisco 56-32%.
Molinaro's campaign emailed a statement saying Cuomo is more vulnerable than at any time during his two terms. Molinaro spokesperson Katie Delgado.
These are the worst poll numbers that Cuomo has had. It's a clear example of his performance failing the economy upstate, continued corruption, and an MTA system that is completely crumbling.
WAMC reached out to both DeFrancisco and Cuomo, but did not hear back in time for broadcast. The Siena College poll of 692 registered New York voters was conducted April 8 through 12. It has a 4.3 percentage point margin of error.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas. Thank you. listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, as we heard from our Karen DeWitt, the Working Families Party split in two, with the unions breaking off from the party to perhaps eventually form their own ballot line. Meanwhile, the Working Families Party endorsed Cynthia Nixon for governor. Governor Andrew Cuomo withdrew his consideration for nomination for the Working Families Party and said he's sticking with the unions for now. How does this all shake out?
Look, the labor people, including Mr. Mulgrew at the Education Union in New York City, are fiercely for Cuomo. And yet, everybody in that organization gets a vote. They voted overwhelmingly for Cynthia Nixon. Last time, the mayor of New York inexplicably came forward and announced that they had to vote for Cuomo. Nobody quite got it, and they've been feuding ever since. But I think what you're going to find now is that there's going to be a separate party, a labor party, that will get its own line and further bring away votes from the working families people, although there are an awful lot of people with an awful lot of respect for the Working Families Party because they think they've stood up to a man that many of them consider to be a bully.
Well, certainly the split of the Working Families Party was big news this week, but also with that comes a Siena College poll that seems to suggest that Governor Andrew Cuomo is way ahead in the race still as his challengers gear up. But the interesting thing is that we saw a 16-point swing upward for Cynthia Nixon in the poll.
Yeah, look, Cynthia Nixon, in most observers' view, is not going to win this election. Nevertheless, as she gains credibility, as the anti-Cuomo forces coalesce, as the left coalesces, Cynthia Nixon goes up in the polls. Now, we know that this race will quicken as it gets closer. The governor certainly knows that, and the governor certainly knows that third terms are never easy candidacies. I think that what Cuomo has to worry about is a sort of vindictive streak that people sense in him when he says, anybody who's not helping me here can lose my telephone number. That's the kind of thing that, thugs say. He still has the Cuomo name. He has done a lot of progressive things lately. Whether it's too late or not is another whole story. Obviously, Cynthia Nixon is a worthy opponent in that she's really letting him have it. She's not holding anything back. She's not playing by the Marcus de Queensberry rules. She's a formidable opponent. She's got a name. There is a narrative from the Cuomo people that she doesn't have experience, but Cuomo's experience isn't all that healthy lately. I mean, you got Joe Pococo, 3 felony counts, his top person, the third brother who Mario liked the most, according to Andrew's own eulogy, and more trials coming up. It's his to lose, and I agree with the vast preponderance of people who think that she can't win. But she certainly is providing a service in that she's making him work for it.
Meanwhile, this week, Alan, Democrats in the New York State Senate reunited for the first time since a 7-year-long schism within the party helped give control of the chamber to Republicans. Former members of the IDC, Independent Democratic Conference, and mainline Democrats met briefly behind closed doors. The 8-member IDC was formally disbanded at the start of this week's Senate session.
Now, of course, we all know that Andrew Cuomo called them in the room and gave them hell and said, get back where you belong. Of course, he could have done that 6 years ago. He could have been doing it all along. It took a long time and only, I think, under the threat of Cynthia Nixon running against him. So he's saying, get back in there. Now, there's a lot between lip and cup here. One of them is that the Democrats have to pick up 2 vacant seats that are up for grabs right now. One of them seems pretty sure. The other one, not so much. Then the governor has to say to Simca Felder, cut it out and mean it and put some muscle behind that. Could he do it? I don't know, because Felder has a pretty unified group of people behind him. And he has made it clear that he'll go wherever he wants to go. So the Independent Democratic Conference is gone no more. Cuomo could have done it a long time ago. I've been saying it since day one. Whether or not he is perceived as only doing that in panic is another whole story.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. We'll be right back. are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now is Jane Ginsburg. She's the executive director of the Alzheimer's Association, the New York State Coalition, that has just received a $24 million grant for Alzheimer's work across upstate New York. First, before we begin, welcome, Jane.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of what the money will go for and what you have planned, and whereabouts are we going to see this money used?
So the money is actually used across the entire state in all 62 counties, and we have seven subcontractors, which are actually the Alzheimer's Association chapters throughout the state. So they have deep roots in each county and each chapter area to make sure that they are reaching constituents who are affected by Alzheimer's. There are 400,000 people right now in New York State living with Alzheimer's, and we factor in about 2.5 to 3 caregivers per, so about 1.1 million caregivers. So right there you have 1.5 million people who are directly affected. And then there are so many others who work with population who see them every day, and we work with them as well to make sure they're educated, supported, trained, so that we can keep folks with Alzheimer's and their caregivers at home if that's the preferred place to reside, and healthy and safe.
You even have a statistics sheet that talks about the impact for hospice care and hospitals and even the deaths that come about as a result of the disease.
Indeed. We work with the National Alzheimer's Association to make sure that we have the best data there is, the best resources there are. Our programs are evidence-based and evidence-informed. We provide in-person and on-phone care consultations, which are individual meetings and personalized meetings, to really talk about the journey that the family and the individual is going through. What are the questions, the concerns, the issues that are affecting them today, and what's, you know, coming down the road tomorrow and months and years from now. And we go through, you know, lots of considerations for them and then create care recommendations, care plans for them to help with their own journey. We offer support groups for every population and certainly in every county. When they can't be in person, we offer telephonic support groups. There are also online and virtual support groups available. There's a part of the website called allsconnected.org, which is really cool online support group. It's almost like a Facebook, basically, but for those who are affected, either living with the disease or a caregiver, to help support their journey. And then we do robust caregiver education, covering every possible topic you could imagine, from financial and legal planning to communication tips and behavior challenges to just the basics of Alzheimer's. What is the disease and how does it affect the person and the family?
Well, let's go a little further with that. I mean, some people may not be quite sure whether there's someone in their family right now that is actually dealing with Alzheimer's, even though they may suspect it with some symptoms. What do people need to watch out for?
There are 10 warning signs, really. General memory loss that just disrupts daily life. Not the regular, you know, oh, I can't remember a name or where did I put my keys, but true memory loss that is affecting daily functioning. Certainly financial. If you're having trouble with numbers and finances on a regular basis where that wasn't an issue before, problems with general speaking and writing, finding words that are challenging in a way that they shouldn't be challenging, just regular words that you should be able to come up with every day, but you're not able to come up with them, or even just basic confusion about where you are. If you're going, you know, you have a normal route that you go to work and you get lost, that's also a sign. All of these signs and symptoms and more, so much more, can be found on our website, too, which is alz.org.
We've been speaking with Jane Ginsburg. She's the executive director of the Alzheimer's Association New York State Coalition. Jane, what a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for providing all the information about where this $24 million will go and how you're servicing the folks, not only the people, but the caregivers who are dealing with Alzheimer's disease.
Thank you so much for having me, and I do hope that listeners will contact their local chapters to help move forward.
State and regional officials were in North Hudson, New York last week for a groundbreaking marking new development at the former Frontier Town theme park. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley has more.
In his 2017 State of the State address, Governor Andrew Cuomo outlined a number of initiatives for the North Country. A week and a half later, during a visit to Plattsburgh, the Democrat detailed his plan to create a gateway to the Adirondacks at the former frontier town in North Hudson.
$32 million to redevelop the existing property as a multi-use facility, camping, access to Schroon Lake, dining, lodging, hiking, preserve the history of Frontier Town, but really build a new gateway facility to the Adirondacks.
Groundbreaking on a key component of the plan was held last week. The state is investing $19 million to develop a new campground, which includes a day-use area and equestrian camping on about 91 acres of land. DEC Commissioner Basil Sagos told the crowd of officials gathered at the former theme park that the project balances protection of resources and the economy of the hamlets within the Adirondacks.
We also do this because we want to spread out the use in the Adirondacks. There's incredible intensive use on really a small number of areas in the Adirondacks. And that's unfortunate because there are incredibly beautiful places in the Adirondacks that people can visit. So part of this is creating a hub where people can create a new launching off point. This is a real gateway for us where we can send people in different directions and attract people.
Town of North Hudson Supervisor Ron Moore says the redevelopment of Frontier Town will revitalize the five towns of the mid-Adirondacks.
In 1952, Frontier Town opened, and for more than 40 years, thousands visited our town, creating many, many jobs. Our businesses flourished. But when they closed in 1999, those jobs went away. And slowly the businesses closed their doors. And now, after 20 years of suffering, we have a new hope for the future. Put all of that together with the Boris Ponds Tract, and I believe that we'll have a new, unique recreational opportunity that'll make this a world-class destination.
The groundbreaking also marks the beginning of private investment at the site, as Paradox Brewery begins construction on a $5.2 million facility on an 11-acre parcel. Brewery founder Paul Maraca envisions a bright future for the brewery and the region.
The ceremony marks a milestone for the town of North Hudson, Essex County, and the surrounding towns. It's a renaissance for the North Country. Since Frontier Town has closed, there's been little investment in the North Country. Many small businesses open and close in just a few years. Paradox being the first private investment in this project, I believe if you build it, they will come. Since I'm a dreamer, I imagine a day where projects like hotels, retails, outside venues, and festivals. Imagine a festival right down the end of the road there, all through this area here. The hiking, the horseback riding, the snowmobiling, everything here, it's going to be wonderful.
The New York State DEC expects to open the day use area this fall and the Frontier Town campground and equestrian area by summer 2019.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
That about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. As for program number 1816, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.